Hello, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher, and I'm your host, Ali. Well, in this program, the teacher, we try to answer some of the major questions about Islamic teachings. Please stay with us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear listeners, today in this show we're going to be talking about miracles. And these are the extraordinary deeds, right? And we said that these miracles are different from superstitions. One of the methods that we use to identify prophets sent by God is miracles. Okay, so it's important for us to understand what miracles are. We have often heard that a group of people, they have undertaken extraordinary feats. People who have seen these deeds are not new, and they are not few either. This is a reality, and it's not a fairy tale. It is here that this question arises as to what difference is there between this extraordinary work and the miracles of the prophets. And what criteria should we use to separate them? There are many people who do extraordinary things that normal people cannot perform. And then there are those extraordinary things that we are calling them to be miracles, and they are performed by God or the representatives of God, like prophets and imams. How do we differentiate between these two? It's very tricky, right? Here the question arises as to what the difference is between these extraordinary acts and the miracles of prophets, and what criteria should we use to distinguish them. The question has several responses, and we're going to go over two of them in today's program. These two responses should suffice you to understand that there's a difference between the extraordinary acts that are carried out. For instance, if you look at some of the Hindus, through a process of training, they reach a point where they can perform some of the extraordinary acts. Same thing with Buddhists. There are many people around the globe who do extraordinary acts, but they're not necessarily prophets of God. So how do we distinguish between them? We're going to go over two of those points. The first one is a person who does something like an extraordinary act always does work which is limited. Okay? In other words, none of these people is ready to do what you ask him to do. He undertakes an extraordinary feat which he himself wants to do. That is something which he has practiced a great deal, learned how to do well, and at which he is an expert. So as soon as you ask them to perform something that is not on their expertise list, they would deny and they would run away. Typically, it's one or two things that they are able to perform. And this is how you can tell that these people are not the prophets. They are not the ones with miracle. They're only able to do some of the extraordinary acts. The reason for this is clear, brothers and sisters, because the power or force of every human being is limited. And in one or several things, only can he attain skill. But the extraordinary deeds of the prophets, which we are saying miracles, they have no limits, no conditions to be able to perform them. They can, whenever they want, perform a miracle which is suggested to them or requested off of them, because they receive help from the endless power of the Creator. And we know that God's power is not limited, whereas the power of the human being is very limited. So next time, if anybody shows you a trick, okay, and tries to tell you that this is a miracle, you know how to test that person. You ask for other things. Typically, you would find that these people, such people, are very limited in what they can do. what extraordinary acts they can perform. Okay? We're going to go for a short break, and after the break, we're going to come back and talk about one other point, which is going to enable us to distinguish between the extraordinary works of the prophets, which we call miracle, and of those who are not performing miracle, they're merely doing some extraordinary things known as tricks. Stay with us.
See they not that we gradually reduce the land in their control from its outlying borders? These verses of the Quran mention that the surface of earth has been reduced and diminished from its outlying borders. Has the surface of earth been reducing from its outlying borders, really? What can be the meaning of this reducing? What do scientists say about the subject? According to the information of NASA, while the Earth's equatorial radius is 6,378.5 kilometers, its polar radius is 6,357. This means a difference of 0.3%. Here, there is an indication of this flattening at poles with the following statements from the Quran. We reduce the land from its outlying borders, and we diminish the land from its outlying borders. Besides, we also point out to the following issue that there is a statement in the verse as we gradually reduce instead of we reduced. From this statement, we understand that the process of reducing still continues. If there were a statement within the verse as we reduced, we could understand that the earth was created in the same shape as it is today. The statement we gradually reduce informs us about a formation after a definite process. That is, reducing is still continuing. The following 2 points, which stem from this verse of the Quran, are in complete conformity with the discoveries of the creation of Earth. 1. There is a reducing at the edges of the Earth. In fact, the Earth is flattened at poles and bulges at the equator. This reducing still continues as it is stated in the verses. 2. The present Earth is different than its first state. There has been a gradual flattening from its edges in the course of time after a process. This occurs as a result of the rotation of the earth around its own axis. The conclusion that stems from the verses of the Quran of which we have analyzed is in complete coherence with the scientific discoveries.
We once had a teacher, the teacher of teachers. He changed the world for the better and made us better creatures. Oh Allah, we've shamed ourselves, we've strayed from Al-Mu'allim. Surely we've wronged ourselves, what will we say in front of it? Mu'allim.
Welcome back to your listeners. Before the break, we were talking about the miracles of the prophets and imams versus those extraordinary things that some of the people around the globe, even today, are able to perform, and they try to sell it as a miracle. How do we distinguish between the two? We said that the first way of doing that is that you will notice, and you shall notice, that these people who are doing or carrying out these extraordinary tasks, which other normal people cannot perform typically, they are experts in one or two of those tasks. That's all they can do. But when you look at the prophets sent by God, and when you look at the imams who are the vicegerents of the prophets, they are able to do whatever, whenever, based on the wish and the need. Why? Because they are connected to the source of power, of all the power, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their power comes from Allah. So this is what we discussed before the break. Now, the second point in which you can distinguish between somebody who's just doing a trick versus somebody who's performing a miracle is this. The work done by these people who can do these tricks, another person who can perform that trick, he can do the same thing in the same way. Okay? Whereas, when you look at the prophet, whatever prophet performs, nobody else can replicate it. Okay? So this is another way of finding out that if this person is a prophet or a divine person, like for instance, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, he's supposed to come, right? When he reappears, people are going to ask him for the miracles, right? Now, there are, of course, going to be false Mahdis too. The saviors, they're going to claim to be saviors, right, of this world. How do you distinguish if what they're performing, an extraordinary act, for instance, whether it's a miracle or not? This is how you do it. If nobody else can replicate that, that's one. Number two, if he performs what you asked him to perform, rather than performing this one act that they have expertise in and they have practiced it for like tens and twenties of years. Instead of that, you ask them to perform something out of the box. If they can perform it, you can come to a conclusion, and this is a partial conclusion. Of course, this is not the only thing that we look at when it comes to recognizing the Imam and the Prophet, but this is one of the criterias. So you get to a conclusion that, okay, this person, since he performed what we asked him for, okay, and then the second thing is that nobody else is able to perform these quote-unquote tricks slash miracles, right? Hence, we can come closer to certainty. Again, this is not conclusive, brothers and sisters. We cannot rely our judgment when recognizing the Imam of the time upon his reappearance on miracles only. This is not where it ends. Okay? So these are the two ways that we have gone over, and inshallah, these things are going to help you in recognizing the Imam of the time through this method of knowing whether what the Imam is performing is a miracle or is it a mere extraordinary act or a tactic. Thank you for being with us. Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed today's episode of The Teacher. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care and bye.